talking about whatsoever things written aforetime, as in verse 4, and maybe get a little different perspective. I probably said enough about that last week, but I didn't say all I wanted to. So you'll have to decide whether or not what we do today is worthwhile. But we're going to start in reading here in Romans 15 in just a moment. First, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And we thank you for your mercy and grace toward us. We pray thy blessing on the things that we say and do, on the word to our hearts as we read it from your book. And we pray that whatsoever things would be done here today would bring glory and honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought us with his blood. And in his name we ask this. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 15, the verse is verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, if I recall, and I could be very wrong about this because my memory is not very good, but last week we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but that God will with the temptation make a way to escape. And we talked about that in light of the fact that everything written before were written for our examples, also found in 1 Corinthians 10, and that we might learn from those things how to find the escape. And I'm not at all sure I got that point across, but if you get last week's tape or CD or whatever, and maybe you'll hear something of that nature about it. But that, good morning, Ed. But that, that, if you knew mine and Ed's history, you'd know why I had to stop and say good morning there. Yeah, but he's not. Ed's not late. Ed's not late anymore. Sorry, I didn't mean to expose anything. But the things which are written will teach us the way of escape. From the things that we're tempted with, it will teach us the way of escape. There's not any reason to build that any bigger than it is in your own mind, but there's every reason to let that lie in your mind comfortably and use the Scripture. The Lord gave hundreds of instructions about using the Scripture, not abusing it, but using it, in order to teach yourself, to be taught, to teach other people, and on and on and on. And so whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. But now the broader application of that has to do with what the Word of God is in the world. I want you to get 2 Timothy chapter 3 in one hand and turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 12 in the other. 2 Timothy 3 and Deuteronomy 12. We'll read first in Deuteronomy. 2 Timothy 3, Deuteronomy 12. Now, in Deuteronomy, you have the word itself means to reiterate or to say again, to re-establish by the same words. And in Deuteronomy, you have the law, in effect, rewritten. If you start in Exodus chapter 20 and you go through the book of Numbers, you have the law written. In Deuteronomy, you have it all rewritten in sort of a compressed form. Some of the things, if you don't know what the Lord hates, read the law. Now, it's true that Solomon wrote something about it in Proverbs for you, the seven things which the Lord hates. But if you want to know what that means in life, go back and read the law. The Lord's very exacting in his law. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, last verse. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Now I want you to get a good grip on what that verse is, and where it is, and add it to your arsenal of what people argue with you about concerning the Word of the Lord. Well, I think what that means to me is under certain circumstances, blah, blah, baloney, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add unto, thereto, nor diminish from it. The idea is that there is something about the Word of God that if you keep studying it, you keep looking at it, you keep carrying it, not yourself and not your own ideas and not some religion somewhere, you keep carrying the Word of God, hiding it in your heart, it will teach you, like that way of escape we talked about last week, it will teach you what's right. And you know, you're not under the law. And if you want to know whether or not you're under the law, read, say, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy through chapter 17 or 18, and you'll know for sure you're not under the law. Therefore, the Lord must have said something else. But you don't add to it, and you don't diminish from it. You just accept it. One of the greatest things you'll ever do for yourself, as it says it, where it says it, to whom it says it, concerning the Word of God, gets to be a byline in your mind that you never change. As it says it, where it says it, to whom it says it. God didn't make any errors. Now, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now you've come across the board. It's dispensational now because you're not in Deuteronomy anymore. So you started in Genesis and you wound up in Revelation, and you have the Word of God. Now, you're reading in 2 Timothy, which is the last book the Apostle Paul wrote, and it could be applied as being the final word on the dispensation that we're living in. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. By the way, it is said that Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It is said that Joshua wrote the book of Joshua, and that Judges was nothing more than a compilation of legend. I don't care. There was a guy here 3 or 4 years ago, a seminar here 3 or 4 years ago, that maybe 5 years ago, that said, Moses didn't write the first 5 books in the Bible. Well, there were churches that just got outraged. Folks, just yawn real big. You've got the Word of God. What do you care who wrote it? God Almighty said who wrote it when He wanted you to know. And in the case of Paul, He put Paul's name at the start of 13 straight books. Then you know how many books Paul wrote in the Bible? Not 14. His name's on 13. And in one of them, He stuck a little verse that said He always put His name on it. Well, then He didn't write 14. Words mean what they say. Simple as that. Don't change the words. Believe them. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. This, is, by the way, is an exhortation toward Timothy. And it's along the lines of, you better go and you better go strong because it's going to get bad. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Just as a thought about that, go back to, hold on there, look back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Well, think about people teaching the law today in light of, or in the throw of, God's going to get you if you don't do so and so. Well, God isn't going to get you. He got His Son. When Christ died for our sins, God poured out His wrath upon toward you upon Him. say, well, that don't seem right. Well, then take it up with God. There's not any point in arguing with me about it. I didn't say you're not under the law, but under grace. The Word of God does. I didn't say that no flesh could be justified by the keeping of the law. God did. Well, then, I'm not going to have that argument. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised for our justification. I believe that. I mean, call me simple. I believe that. Look back in 2 Timothy 3 now. Verse 13 again. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I can tell you what they're being deceived by. They're being deceived by the Word of God. Not that the Word of God would deceive them, but because of what they believe about the Word of God, they teach people things that they ought not, like the law. In the second hour today, we're going to talk about how many Gospels there are in the Bible. And that would be an oversimplification. But in there, we'll find that Moses told the children of Israel that the law would be